Wednesday, chicks, and we're back and we're here to talk about the footy. And here tonight I'm joined by my co-host, Susanna Mott.
Hello, Breeza.
Hello, Motty. And you've been busy gallivanting overseas.
So I have.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
And Fiza. Welcome, Fiza.
I've been fresh back from Brisbane.
Mate, you get all the good trips.
I know.
Did you get out to training or anything?
No, but I drove past the Gabba.
Saluted.
Oh. That's a fun fact.
Saluted Luke Hodge.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, mid-finger salute. No, I'm only
kidding. Now, chicks, we're all winners. We're all winners this week. Our team's won.
That's true.
What, all four?
No, just
not Dahl.
Our three teams.
Present in the studio. We apologies to Beck Dahl for that comment.
No apologies.
She's a Crow supporter and they did not win.
No, they did not. But we'll talk about that. So, chicks, on tonight's show, we're going to chat all the footy news of the week. We're going to review round 18, and that was a stellar round. We're going to catch up with our good mate, our new mate, actually, Melissa Haberfield from North Melbourne.
Total legend.
Legend. And she's here to talk to us all about sports injuries in the AFLW. We've got our dinner table chat where Fee's going to dim the music and put on the lights, and we're going to talk all things football and bring a topic to the table. We're also going to chat about the final quarter, and that aired this week, wasn't
it?
That's the Adam Goods documentary.
Yep, the Adam Goods documentary. So we're going to talk all about that. And if anyone wants to message us in during the show about their thoughts on the documentary, you can do so on Joy 0427 Joy 949. And Motty, we're going to continue with your no warning segment, which I did. Well, in your absence last week, not very well, but
Breeza pinched
it.
Yeah. Well, that is wrong. Did you say it was my segment?
I did, didn't I, Fee?
Yeah, we gave you full credits. Yeah,
because
full
the credit. Thing is, I ripped it off. I've ripped it off from every person in football that talks about, question without notice. I mean, any conversation contains questions without notice.
Yeah, but no one else turned it into a segment.
That's right. And no one else rebadged it.
That's right.
No warning. To capital N, capital W as well. Just made it interesting like that.
We're giving you full credit, Muddy.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
It's amazing tonight.
Amazing. All right.
Got amazing questions.
So, chicks, let's jump into it. Round 18, let's recap. It started all the way back last Friday. And I know Beck Dahl hates Friday night football, so I really felt for her.
Yeah,
it kicked off with Adelaide versus Essendon. Tell us all about it.
Well, there was two halves to that match, and as Bree said pre-show, there always is, Motty.
Yeah.
Or was that you, Fee?
Well, no, it wasn't me, but I like that.
There's always two. But I'm very glad as an Essendon supporter that we won the second half, not the first half.
The half
that counts. We got the 4 points. It was actually a really, really great game. At halftime, Essendon were down 25-30 something, and then I don't know what Woosher or whoever else spoke to them in the change rooms at halftime, but they came out a completely different team.
Actually, Marty, we've had a message just come in from Brad. He said, "Isn't questions without notice a term for Parliament?"
It is, Brad. That's right.
So you've ripped
it off from Parliament.
Well, actually, I ripped it off. They've got one on SEN Breakfast, and I got it from there. But I trust that they've taken it from Brad's parliamentary mention.
Wow, the truth is coming out tonight on Chicks Talking Footy.
I've never pretended I didn't loan it from anyone else.
Right.
Okay.
Now, going back to the Friday night game, I actually got to watch the whole game because my son went to sleep at 7 o'clock. That was a miracle. But I loved it, Motty. And
it's really
good.
You know what?
It reminded me of the Bombers kind of 3 years ago where they just had a lot of oomph.
A lot of zip. It's the first game this year that I'm not someone who goes, yes, my team's going to smash it this week.
No.
There are certain people that just are constantly confident about their team. That's not me. But now I go, actually, yes, that was a really good brand of football. There was things like Adam Saad played a defensive role on Eddie Betts the entire game. And that's his run and dash was sacrificed for the whole game.
And Eddie Betts was dropping marks.
Yeah, and it worked because he had someone clamped down on him. So that bring, I have a question, you know, later on regarding that sort of play. There was also a lot of people missing for Essendon, but Connor McKenna was fabulous. Everyone just all of a sudden turned it around in that second half, and it was great.
Yeah, no, it was very good. And considering you didn't really have a ruck.
No, yes. We didn't have a ruck. We didn't have a forward. We didn't have a fullback. didn't have, you know, two.
So taking all of that into account, and if we flip it over and look at Adelaide now, what does that mean for the Crows? Because they've come under heavy scrutiny, and as Beck said, they're not posting videos because they're ashamed of themselves, and so they should be this week. So their season's now...
Well, they're now eighth on the ladder, and only by a thread.
They shouldn't have dropped that game as easily as they did.
Yeah. You've got to start asking him some questions. Although people were criticising Tex, but geez, he was strapped up to the hilt.
Yeah, he didn't look like he...
That looked... Yeah. that hurt. And I'm sorry to say, when that happened, I went, ooh, this could be good for us. But anyway, so Essendon won, and Essendon should go on to win probably more than they lose in the next five rounds.
Okay, so that could be interesting for you.
Mm.
Richmond, Port Adelaide.
Yes.
Breeze up.
Yes. I would describe Richmond at the moment as a Tiger supporter, and this is with my Tiger hat on. We're a hot mess. Yes, a hot mess.
Please explain.
We're playing really well, but we're experimenting a lot. We had some interesting wing combinations happening in this game. You know, we've got four premiership players who are still playing VFL. Dimmer's, you know, persisting with playing the young players, which is, you know, as he should, because they're holding their spots in the team.
So someone like Caddy, is that who you're talking about who's in the
Caddy,
VFL?
Yeah.
And why is he playing there?
So they want Caddy to play a new role. So they're trying that out in the VFL.
And what's that role?
From what I understand, it's like a midfield / halfback type role, where he goes to a defensive like wing or a defensive halfback role from the middle of the ground.
And so he's always been an attacking player.
He's always been a forward. So, but we've got enough forwards. So our forwards are keeping him out of the team. So they want him to play a different role. We've got Baker, who's come in after being trialled down back in a VFL role, who's playing a halfback role at the moment. They've moved Short from halfback to a wing. So so we're trying some things, and some things are working. I thought we overpossessed the ball, and we handballed a lot in this game. We had 220 handballs during the game, which is far too many. But
More handballs than minutes.
Yeah, we were too good for Port. Port never looked like winning this game. So it was great to see the synergy start to click with Lynch and Riewoldt.
And Port are hanging on to their season too, aren't they?
Yep.
And your poor little... Is it Higgins who's had the brain hemorrhage?
Oh, yeah.
God, that's a huge thing, isn't it?
He had the brain bleed suddenly. So he's been playing... Speaking of players that have been playing VFL...
VFL, yeah.
So they didn't know at first whether that was a injury he'd sustained and later this happened. It turned out to be a condition he had since birth.
Yeah.
It's a venous malformation, which is basically a sort of a little cluster of veins, so they're not operating or they didn't form as they should.
Oh, Nurse Moddy just came out to play.
Nurse Moddy knows stuff occasionally.
Previous life.
Previous life, exactly. Long ago.
Just quickly, the Carlton Gold Coast game was a bit closer than
the
other Gold Coast games, wasn't it?
Well, I didn't see any of it. Was there ever any chance that Gold Coast... if I look at the scoreline across the quarters, it doesn't look like they got close at all.
They did get a little bit close, but then Carlton, you know, just kicked away again. So they were competitive, but, you know.
They're a mess without the hot, really, aren't they? Gold Coast, just, what are they going to do?
Breezer dissected that last week. If you want to catch up on the podcast.
Actually, there was a release just today. The AFL are considering giving the Gold Coast the Darwin Academy Zone.
Wow.
So watch this space.
Okay, that just came out today, fresh off the press.
Fresh off the press.
So they're giving them an NT zone.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we're going to continue talking the games of the round after a few short messages.
I'm Jason Twizel McSheen from the Purple Bombers, and you're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy, and tonight you're with myself, Breezer, Moddy and Feezer. And we're continuing to go through the round 18 games. Chicks, I think we're up to Greater Western Sydney and Collingwood.
And weren't they great?
They were terrific.
I tipped Collingwood stupidly.
So did I. But it's natural to do that.
Well, they're both teams that confuse us, I think, at the moment, because GWS isn't consistently good.
Well, they've got half a team. They've got so many injuries.
Yeah. But, I mean, then they kicked Collingwood's bottom.
And I mean, I guess I tipped them as well. I'm going, oh, they beat West Coast. But really, that's a huge amount of travel to go to Western Australia, come back, then go to Sydney. Well, yeah. And then the trip from the airport to the stadium is apparently as long as flying from Melbourne.
Hours.
Yeah, to Sydney.
2 hours.
The drive, so you're miles away.
Yeah,
did
right.
you watch this game, though? Like, GWS,
no, not much.
Like, kicked 8 goals to in the first quarter. They could not miss.
Wow.
And their twin towers in Cameron and Finlayson just took Collingwood's defence to the cleaners. Like, every time GWS went in, they scored a goal, pretty much.
And the Collingwood defence, one of Billy at the Billy Pennell, who's had on the show before, Bill was telling me they're like a foot shorter, all the Collingwood defenders against all those lads. So they just had no chance.
And
can
that,
they?
That was the game, pretty much.
Is Collingwood going to hang on to a top spot?
They might slip out of the top four if they keep playing the way they are.
Well, they could easily, because Essendon, Giants and Richmond are all sitting under them, and they're all playing very well, those three. So they could. So
I think this Friday night's an 8-point game.
Are you going? Sick.
No, I don't tend to go to Collingwood home games.
Why?
Because they're not Richmond home games. They're Collingwood home games.
They are harder to... I'm going to talk about this later, but when it's not your home game, even if it's at the same ground, it's harder to navigate.
Yeah.
Brisbane, North Melbourne, Brisbane?
Oh, controversial game, this one. Did you watch this one?
This has been a much talked about game.
I love Brisbane, let me just say that, apart from the controversy. I love what they're doing and how that, you know, in the last couple of years it's come together.
I mean, you have to give lots of credit to Chris Fagan and Luke Hodge, I think, on that one.
Yeah.
And Alistair Clarkson indirectly.
I wonder how Lepich feels, somewhat, you know, sitting back going, he slogged for 5 years to try and get something happening there. And then almost as soon as he's gone, it just turns around.
I know. So a controversial free kick paid against Scott Thompson to Oscar McInerney, which won the game for the Lions.
Yeah, I watched this game too. It was kind of like it was equal scores when this happened, and it was only 3 or 4 minutes left of the quarter.
Yeah.
Of the final quarter was too. But wasn't there a controversy with Ben Brown getting a free kick earlier up the other end?
Yeah, look, I mean, you can say that, but I guess it becomes more crucial when it's at that point of the game, don't you think?
Of course.
So, you could argue that didn't deserve to win, but also they kicked another goal after that, so.
Yeah, that's true. And Cunnington kicked the wrong way for you. Saw this.
I know, this was hilarious. So in the first quarter, they were in North Melbourne's 50 and Ben Cunnington marked the ball. So he was about 40 metres from goal. So he should have been taking a set shot. And he kicked the ball up the other end of the ground, obviously thinking North were kicking the other way. A complete brain fade. And
did his teammates just come?
You'd have to get riled up about that, wouldn't you?
that is quite funny. Thank God that was early.
Yeah, if that had been not the 3 minutes before the end of the final quarter, it would have been.
But you know something, just back to that Thompson giving away that free kick, or not giving it away, but it being paid. I think club's response to that seems to be, if we're complaining that that's what lost us the game, then we're looking at it incorrectly. They shouldn't have, you know, they all say we shouldn't be in that position anyway. We didn't put, you know, we should have been ahead. So I think it's more supporters get pissed off.
Well, you know.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, Brizzy won again.
They did.
They did. Well done, Brisbane. And we're second on the ladder for a moment.
And what are they now?
They're third officially, but they were second on the ladder overnight. And then the next game, my goodness.
Fremantle versus Sydney.
This was an absolute cracker of a game.
Yeah, did you see this?
I saw the last.
It was low scoring. It was a really thrilling type game.
I have to say I don't enjoy this kind of low scoring game. I find it very frustrating. But I watched probably the last 20 minutes.
Was your partner away this weekend?
Yes, she was. That's why I was.
Because you've seen a lot of football.
We did talk about our break-even points, like how many, because we've all got partners that don't follow the football, so how many games a weekend is an appropriate amount and still keep your relationship. It's usually probably two for me, but yeah, I watched a lot of
football.
Well,
we've only got one television, so.
Same.
So we watch Essendon games. That's all. It doesn't matter what's going on. We watch Essendon. And if Claire's not into watching anything, then we'll watch something else. But we don't have Foxtel, so. Or else I'll just go and watch on my iPad if I want to watch.
Yeah, I can watch on my phone or whatever. Mm. But it's not as exciting as watching.
I have been to the pub by myself and got a pot.
Yeah.
Well, and watched the game.
I live right next to the Provincial in Fitzroy. And I often pop over there to watch a game by myself. So, you know, the things you do to survive.
Exactly. Yes. So where are we? We are at Frio, Sydney.
1 point game, and
Frio.
Who was it that kicked the? There was someone that kicked it behind. I forgot his name. You know, 2 minutes, maybe a minute and a half to go of the game, but Sydney still had a chance.
Did you see them try and kick the ball through? I don't know how they did not get that ball through Sydney to level the score.
I know, because they did keep kicking it down.
Yeah.
But that, I think you could officially say it's the end of Sydney's season.
It is, but Frio keep their slim finals hopes alive, I think.
There's a Ross Lyon press conference this afternoon. Yeah. Did you hear that? He came out and said, I'm happy here. I want to stay here. And then he accused the media of having an agenda of trying to run him out of Fremantle.
Mm.
Oh. Big words, Rossi.
Fair enough.
Yeah, watch this space on Ross Lyon.
Yeah,
all right.
He could be on the block. Then the next game.
This is all about you, Geelong versus Hawthorn. Tell us all about it.
Now later in dinner table, I'm going to talk about, because I went to this game on my own, and it's the first ever football game I've been to without friends. Literally, the whole Hawks Pride group. No one was going. None of my friends were going, and I thought, stuff it. I'd organised a babysitter. I'm going.
There was 53,635 other people
that were there.
That were there with you.
That weren't my friends.
Scotty.
So I'm going to talk about my experiences later, but it was, from a Hawks supporter's perspective, an absolutely thrilling game. The Hawks just did it all right for four quarters. Unfortunately, Jarman Impey, in I think the first quarter, he landed badly on his foot, and it just, we all knew, and you could see he knew that he'd done his ACL.
I was listening to the radio and when they kept replaying it, and the callers were just going, oh,
yeah,
you know, like they were feeling it.
We had, there was a bit of a spontaneous applause in terms of respect for him. Unfortunately, he's been such a good player on our back line this year and such a great runner up the ground. So, and just a nice guy.
Yep.
So I'm very sad to see that happen. But, yeah, it just, you know, even though there's still, it's only a slim chance, I think, that we can play finals, it was great to see, you probably experienced with Tumoti, just great to see your team at its best.
Yes, and play, exactly. And, I mean, your team are remarkable. You know, Clarkson just keeps getting them back up. And Shields had his 200th game. And
and there was a lovely story that came out on the Hawks you know, website and Facebook about Andy, his cousin.
Shields' cousin.
Yeah, yeah. He's actually been the water boy and lolly boy for 10 years at the club.
Oh, wow.
And he was wearing his Hawks Pride beanie the whole time as well. He apparently wears it around the club every day.
It was a really great video, and it, you know, that showed Andy going, talking to all the players, and Liam Shields was sort of interviewing him, and it was just so warm and funny and just really enjoyable. It was 4.5 minutes or something. You'll see it on the Hawthorn socials or their website or something like that if you're interested. But it was worth, you know, 4.5 minutes out of your day.
Yeah, it's really heartfelt. Cats have only won two games since the bye, so that was...
Yes, I'm going to talk about that in my topic.
Yeah, like sort it out, Cats. You know, you've got a bye coming up before finals.
I wanted to talk to you about Fee, though. I think there's a real changing of the guard up forward for the Hawks.
Yeah, so Mitchell Lewis, he won... He's kicked three goals in his 11th and 10th game, and he won the Rising Star Award this week.
Mm.
So I don't think Ruffy's really got a place left in the team, unfortunately. There's a few young boys. Tim O'Brien's playing really well.
There was a quote from Lewis saying, you know, he's absolutely loving it, and he's honoured to get the to get a game every week. He's honoured to get the Rising Star Award nomination and all that, but he still feels a bit bad. that Ruffy's not, yeah, that he's keeping that. Ruffy out. Yeah. Isn't that it's, I mean, it cute,
is,
isn't it?
It is sad to see a great player's career sort of fade out.
No, it hasn't faded. It actually just went clunk,
yeah,
didn't it? One week he's playing and then one week he's not.
Yeah, it's kind of faded in that he just has been playing bad form for a little while. Mm. But, yeah, next game.
Next game, Melbourne versus West Coast in Alice Springs. I watched this game. Eagles, they survived a scare from the D's in Alice Springs, Moddy?
At the beginning of the game.
Yes, at the beginning of the game, Melbourne ran through their banner to their theme song played in the local language, and we're going to play you some audio of that because we love it.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I reckon if Melbourne had it a bit more jaunty like that, it'd be much better.
Yeah.
They might run out with more of a spring in their step. And they had a one of the girls' warm-up games and also some two other guys' locals teams playing, didn't they? And Liam Jarrow was playing in one of the teams.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah,
he
beautiful.
Was. Yeah, it was.
That warmed
beautiful.
My heart.
And then the Eagle players, did you see after the game, like the Eagle players and the Melbourne players, the Indigenous players, hung around and gave autographs?
Did they? And played with the crowd. I would love to go to up there.
Have you not been?
I've been to Alice, but to watch a game.
Yeah,
I think it would be an awesome experience.
Yeah, actually, I'd like to do is go to the Tiwi Islands for their grand final. Apparently the whole place comes down and watches the game. Last year they've got a new team called the Dockers, and they played in their first grand final, and it's a big central part of the whole community. And then after that, they have art exhibitions and all sorts of things going on. So I'd love to go to that.
Yeah, that'd be something.
Maybe we should. It should be an excursion. Mm,
definitely.
Because the AFLW, one of the AFLW matches is up in Alice or Darwin, we should go.
Go and do a reporting
Tregear
session.
Park is beautiful. Like the backdrop is.
Yeah, I've driven past it and looked at it and thought, I've worked up there a few times. I thought I'd really love to go to a game.
Her name escapes me at the moment. We did have the lady that started was the president of the Central Australia AFL, and her name escapes me. We've actually written to each other a few times since.
Was it Beverly?
Bev Ellis, maybe?
Yeah.
So, really interesting kind of part of the community up there.
Yes.
But unfortunately for Melbourne,
they lost.
They are second bottom on the ladder.
They are 17th.
So you know the year.
Prelim to 17th.
You know the year that they played well last year.
Mm.
That is the aberration, actually. Yeah. You know, everyone's going, oh, we can't.
Gary Lyons was saying that this week, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah. On
me and Gary.
You and Gary pitching things from everywhere.
No, we're just connected, obviously. But yeah, this is because this almost feels like the normal Melbourne of late, doesn't it? Of the last 10 years.
Yeah. Unfortunately, so.
It's hard to see that season as being a success
now. And then just finally, our final game of the round was St Kilda versus the Bulldogs, and Chicks, the caretaker coach success strikes again.
And you know who, after every team that's lost their coach, they've always played the Bulldogs the next week.
Yeah.
What, this year?
Yeah. So when Brad Scott left, when Brendan Bolton left, and now when Richo left, they all played Western Bulldogs the next week and won.
Well,
amazing.
Fun fact.
Hmm. Maybe that's how Melbourne will win. They'll sack Goodwin,
play the Bulldogs
and get a win because Goodwin might be on the chopping block. I don't know.
Yes. Well, in a moment, I caught up with a new friend of the show, Melissa Haberfield, and she is part of a research project at La Trobe University where they're looking into women's injuries in the AFLW.
Hi, this is Brett Kirk. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy on Joy.
Melissa Haberfield was recommended to me by a client of mine in my other life called Jim Mayer, and she currently works as a physio for the North Melbourne AFLW team and is part of a research project on injuries within women's football at La Trobe University called La Trobe Sport and Exercise Medicine Research Centre. Melissa has also worked with the Australia gymnastic team and other basketball teams in her role as team physio. Welcome to Chicks Talking Footy, Melissa.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
It's a pleasure. So you're involved in the research project at La Trobe University, specifically about injuries in women's football. Can you tell us a little bit about that project and how it began and who's in the team?
Yeah, absolutely. So at the La Trobe Sport and Exercise Medicine Research Centre, we had a real focus on women in sport as part of the LASM team. And our great leader, Professor Kay Crosley, decided that in the first season of AFLW that we would approach the AFL, and we were interested a lot in injury prevention in the women. We knew that ACLs were probably likely going to be a problem and maybe other injury as well, and we wanted to get on the front foot. And really we wanted to know about what was already being done, what strategies were being used, what barriers were there to implementing them, what kind of support the players and the staff needed. And really over the next two seasons of AFLW, it's really evolved into this project with the AFL where we've developed the Prep to Play program, and we can talk more about that.
Yeah, wow. So tell us about the key findings over that 2 years.
Yeah, so really the early stats coming out of the AFLW showed that women were about 9.2 times more likely to injure their ACL than their male counterparts. And we take it with a grain of salt. We don't want people to get too worried about the statistics because we really think the benefit of playing sport much outweighs the risk of getting an injury. So we really still want to encourage girls to take up footy and enjoy their time.
So yeah. 9.2 times, that's quite high. Although, as a Hawk supporter, I just saw Jarman Impey do his ACL. So it's definitely something happens to men as well.
That's right.
But is it just a lack of education? Is there factors involved that we can then put something in to prevent?
Yeah, it's so multifactorial, and that's a big part of the issue, is it's not just one clear thing. There's so many components to it. And you're right, like, men still do their ACLs, right? So it's all part of sport. It's all part of footy. We're not going to prevent every injury. ACLs are still going to happen. But as it sits, women in other sport are only about 5 times more likely to do their ACL. So the AFLW numbers are sitting just a little bit high still. But again, like, they're really short seasons, so we just have to take it all with a grain of salt. But we're better to get on the front foot and try and do something rather than nothing.
We have had someone else on our show that worked in with injuries with women's sport and was interested in the football side of things. They said that when women are menstruating, they're more susceptible to those kind of injuries. Is that the truth?
Yeah, the jury's still out on that research. So there needs to be a lot more research done. There's some early evidence showing that maybe there's a time in a woman's cycle where she may be more have more laxity in her ligaments, but we really don't understand that relationship yet. So again, it's important to interpret that sort of stuff with care and really just knowing that that's not the only factor. It's the same thing with shoes. I have a lot of players say, oh, are these shoes going to make me rupture my ACL?
Right.
And we just don't know enough. So the way to think about it is there's some things we can control and there's some things we can't control. So
I know that I'm more likely to injure someone else when I've got menstruating.
But maybe that's true. And that can't be helped.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And that's, is that something I can control or not control? So there's lots of potential influences that we don't know about yet or the research hasn't been done enough.
Yeah, so we understand pretty well what the risk factors are. And again, we divide it into two sort of categories, modifiable and non-modifiable. So some examples of modifiable things are movement patterns, strength, football skills, things like that that we really can teach and make better. Some of the non-modifiable things are being a woman, can't change that. and genetics, like the width of our bones and things like that. We can't change that stuff. So let's just focus on what we can change and what we can control, and let's make girls a lot more rounded, expose them to a lot more movement techniques and really teaching them safe techniques of how to move and how to play footy.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I remember when Melissa Hickey did her ACL, I was at that game and it just looked like the most innocuous incident.
They often are. So the main mechanisms are usually jumping and landing onto one leg, and where the player may land out of their what we call the base of support. So their foot goes out a little bit and then the knee just collapses. Or they usually do it when they're going in for a change of direction or what we call a deceleration movement, where they're trying to slow down for a tackle or something. And they usually, again, overstride and their knee just can't cope. So, again, it all comes back to that movement patterning, and that's what we're trying to teach in the prep to play stuff, is how to warm up properly, how to practice your movement skills, and then how to put that into footy-specific situations.
And is changing something about the game, would that help? Like, would there be less tackling or...?
No, the whole point...
No, like, I was going to say, it's a bit of an issue in the football world at the moment.
I think no, because if we're talking about the same issue with the boys, that's not the approach we have. So I'll give you an example. If you think about this, like, it's really clearly shown in statistics that men between the ages of 17 to 25 are more likely to have a road accident, but we don't not let them drive.
Mm.
So why are we saying with girls in footy?
Although perhaps we should say that.
Maybe, but you know what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, I do.
That's not the answer. We want our girls to be involved. We want our girls to play sport.
Yep.
It's just that we historically don't have the base in footy, so we, from a young age, haven't been taught these movement skills and these movement patterns historically. That's going to change with the next generation coming up who've been playing since Auskick. Like, it's going to be amazing.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the game skill level changes and things like injuries might change as well as some of the girls that have been on the pathway for the whole time.
That's right.
Now, just to shift gears a little bit, you have worked with the Australian gymnastic team and the basketball teams in your role as team physio.
Yeah.
Is there any big differences now in your role as the team physio for the North Melbourne AFLW team?
Yeah, I think that's a really cool part of my job, is like working in different sports, and I've been really lucky. So I've travelled with the rhythmic gymnastics team and the acro teams overseas, which is really fun. And then I've done a bunch of work with Basketball Vic in their state squads, and won a few medals at nationals and things like that, which is really cool. What I love about working across different sports is stealing from different sports, so taking what the gymnasts do really well and thinking about how I could put that into our footy program. I think, yeah, there's differences in every team you work with, even within the same sport. If you change clubs, there'll be differences. But I think a big part of what I love about working in the AFLW is being in that elite environment. It's really cool. Even though we're still part-time, we're not fully professional yet, the girls or the staff, but being in the club, having access to the facilities, the gym, the recovery, everything, it's really cool. So that's a step above what I've had with the other sports that I've worked with.
And, of course, dealing with football being a much more contact sport.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a new level of learning, I imagine.
Yeah, definitely, because we've got to, you know, think about the head injuries and that sort of stuff a lot more. But we have also a doctor on our team, which is very handy. So any of that sort of concussion stuff, the doctor will take care of that, which is good.
Fantastic.
Yeah, saves me.
I'm talking with Melissa Haberfield from La Trobe University and also the team physio at the North Melbourne Football Club. Can I, one last question, what's the role of a physio on game day?
Yeah, so on game day, and in AFLW, we'll travel with the team and everything, so it's really fun. But on game day, it's about sticking to the schedule, so there'll be a tight schedule. We get the girls ready, so lots of taping, and then we get the girls doing what we call their individual prep. So that could be individualised exercises that they need to do depending on their history to warm up. So we help and oversee that. We then lead like a mobility and activation session, which goes for about 10 minutes. And we're really getting them waking their muscles up. And then we even going into more dynamic stuff like jumping and landing and some pushes from their teammates and things just to get them working on their skills, their movement skills before we go out onto the ground. Then it's just about going through the on-ground warm-up and then being on the sideline and hopefully not running out on the field. I always say if I don't have to do anything, then I'm having a good day because hopefully all the hard work is done during the week and our game day role, if we're doing our job well, or we hopefully don't have to do too much on game day. And then after the game, it's just about recovery. So we make the girls go through a recovery series on the day and they all got to know it really well. So as the season went on, we sort of stood back and the girls really self-led and, yeah, they really understood the importance of it all. Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, my physio, I had a foot injury this year. My physio is a massive Richmond supporter. I know she'd be very jealous of your job.
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time on Chicks Talking Footy. And we'd love to continue the conversation as more becomes apparent around women's injuries in football and that kind of thing. But thanks so much.
No worries.
Great conversation there with Melissa Haberfield and Fiona. You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy with me, Motti, Bree and Fee.
Now we're going to invite you to our dinner table now, ladies.
Has someone put the spa on for after dinner?
Who's put the bubbles? I need some bubbles.
I feel like a Tia Maria.
But yes, we'd like to serve you up our dinner table, which is where we have our chats about what's going on off the field in the footy community. So who's doing entree?
Yes, I've got entree tonight, chicks. And you heard it here first. I wanted to talk about the form since the byes, and I know another radio station stole my thunder. And you would have heard it here first had our show been on a Monday, because I did do the run sheet, in all fairness, on Sunday, didn't I, Motti?
Absolutely. Yep. I saw it.
Maybe our OneDrive was hacked.
Oh, maybe. They're stealing all of our good material. Anyway, yes, I wanted to quickly run through the form since the bye. So the last five rounds, Geelong has won 2 out of 5 games. So they've dropped off the perch a little bit, our Cats. Sorry, Dave Beckett.
But still on top of the ladder by a game and a good percentage.
That's true, but they're not playing well.
No, amazing.
Brisbane, would you believe, have won all 5 games?
Yes.
Wouldn't, actually.
Yeah, they've won all of their last 5 games, 5 in a row.
And sometimes I can't believe that I'm saying, oh, great for Brisbane. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that they were a powerhouse taking everyone before them and we hated them.
They won 3 premierships in a row.
I know.
It was good 15 years ago.
Yeah, well, I bet Fresnum. We haven't been in the final for a long time, all right?
So Brisbane are on top of the form ladder in the last 5 rounds. Eagles have won 4 out of 5. Collingwood are in the same boat as Geelong. They've won 2 out of 5, so they're not playing very well. Richmond have won 4 out of 5. So Richmond have won the last 4 in a row. So they're going quite well, the Tips.
Do you think they're good, Brisa?
Yeah, I think it's exciting to see things come together. So we've got some of our troops back in.
Mm.
So it is exciting to see Lynch play with Rewalt. That's why we brought Lynch to the club. GWS have won 2 out of 5, but they've won the bookend. So they won the first one after the bye and then the last one against Collingwood. Essendon, Motti, have won 4 in a row. 4 out of 5.
Word.
Hawthorn have won 3 in a row.
The Crows are in struggle town. They've won 2 out of 5.
Okay.
And we'll just go down to Port Adelaide and Hawthorn. So Port Adelaide have won 2 out of 5. They've lost the last 2. Hawthorn have won 3 out of 5, and they've won the last 3. So we won't worry about Freo. They've lost 4 out of 5.
Sorry.
So
that's the form since the bye.
Interesting.
And what do you surmise with that?
Well, sometimes the bye comes at a good time for a club and sometimes it comes at a bad time. And I think for Geelong, their form after the bye has not been great.
They're not convincing. It just doesn't feel that they're convincing now.
Mm. Yeah. So,
but they'll come back. They're so good.
What I surmise from this is timing is everything. So you want to be playing your best football.
Yes.
Towards the end of the year.
Yes.
Yeah.
You do indeed.
That's Entree Chicks.
Thanks, Breeza.
Thank you. Always, that was delicious.
Who's got main?
Breeza's always good with a stat.
Main course is me.
This is a big meal.
It is, because the final quarter was on last week, which was a documentary on Adam Goods, and specifically the last couple of years of his football career when he was booed incessantly.
It was for all of us. It was the first time we'd seen it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. It was the first time that it had a public screening. So it was on.
Well, they'd been playing at film festivals, but not in Melbourne.
Did it?
Sydney Film Festival and in Canberra as well. I know they played it.
Oh, did they? Okay, there you go. Mm-hmm. You can catch it on 10play, the Channel 10 catch up thing, and I do urge people to watch it. I had a really interesting time watching it because my lovely partner last minute decided to go out for a drink after work and wasn't coming home, and it was really interesting to just sit in a room by yourself and watch it and just absorb it as it happened in front of you, because rather than actually have a conversation during.
Yeah.
So, look, what it was is he was booed incessantly. There is debates over whether it was racism. There's debates over other people saying, no, it wasn't racism, it was just he was staging for free kicks and we don't like that. So what they did is they put together all the just actual press clips, and it was horrifying to see some of those.
Well, what was interesting,
those right-wing, horrible commentators like Andrew Bolt, who, meanwhile, let's not forget, is a South African and grew up in apartheid, and I'm tarring him with that brush, obviously. But
Andrew Bolt?
Yeah.
Isn't he Dutch?
No, well, he's Dutch-South African. He grew up in South Africa.
Yeah, and interesting.
I mean, that is, I am connecting
some dots,
dots there. But his quotes were terrible. Sam
Well, he
Newman
also
was,
misquoted, he twisted things that Adam Goods said, because
way
he portrayed what Adam Goods said is he was vilifying and justifying this behaviour towards a 13-year-old girl, and it wasn't. If you listen to the whole clip of Adam Goods' response to when he called out that 13-year-old girl in the crowd, he felt really sorry for her, and he said it's not her fault, she doesn't understand. But
Andrew, she needs our support.
Yeah.
She needs to be taught.
He twisted it as if he was vilifying her, and I just went, wow, look at how you do that. It really exposed him, I think. But it was all middle-aged white men commentating. It was Dermot Brereton, it was Alan Jones, Eddie McGuire. It was all middle-aged white men. Sam Newman, of course. It was all white blokes that aren't listening, obviously.
And Miranda Devine and Rita Panahi, who were known for their right-wing views as well. What did you... When it happened, when it was happening, you know, 4 years ago, and now when you've watched the documentary, what were your interpretations of why people were booing?
I think the timing of it with the Indigenous round and him doing that war dance and the booing starting from then, it's really hard not to see that it began with some kind of racism. And then it showed Dermot Brereton actually during the game that day saying, I don't think he should behave like that, it's too aggressive and all that sort of thing. The only thing I thought at the time that I probably have softened my views on a little bit is I didn't understand why he did that gesture towards the crowd. You know, like when the All Blacks do the haka, it's to the opposition and it's to intimidate. And he was kind of doing this war dance towards the crowd, and I thought, I don't understand doing it towards spectators because they're not your opposition. You're not playing against them.
But were they booing now, before? They were booing before then.
Yeah, they were booing him before the war dance.
Yeah.
Game. I didn't realise that bit. But that at that time...
Not as vehemently, but they had been booing already, and I think he got
annoyed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and look, but I mean, to be honest with you, since then I've kind of gone, oh, so what? You know, like, I guess I've softened my views a little bit on that. But, you know, to watch the footage of 3 years of booing condensed into 90 minutes. It was just... And seeing the pain. And I kind of think, even if you cannot see any racism linked to this, which is a stretch, I think, at least for the start, it was bullying.
and to watch it and hear it. That's the thing as well, that when during the time, you know, we watched football a lot, but we didn't watch the Swans week in, week out, and so you didn't hear the booing, the strength of it week in, week out. My God, it was so loud.
Yeah.
And if you know, the Swans are travelling, remember, into not their territory. So Richmond, West Coast, Essendon, whoever, it's basically 90% of the crowd are booing them. And that's just awful, booing him. Awful.
And I think the tragedy was that he kind of stepped out of the season and didn't do his lap of honour at the grand final that year that they do for retiring players. So
one thing they didn't. Booing. Yeah, and one thing I would have probably done is I would have used more footage of and perhaps radio audio of punters saying why they were doing it. Because it was all media. There was nothing about Joe Blow saying, well, we do it because of this, we do it because of that.
I wonder if the other documentary, The Australian Dream, when that comes out, if that'll be more like that.
That's at the Melbourne Festival. It's a bit broader. It's not just on it's Stan Grant one.
Yep.
I think a lot of people were uncomfortable with his, that he took a stand on racism, like a really visible stand, and called it out. So he was challenging people. He was challenging the football public. He was challenging commentators. And I just think at the time, people just did not know how to deal with it. That was they just went to, you know, the thing that they knew, you know, in terms of booing, you know, a crowd, and that was their response to, because they were uncomfortable with him being so public about the issue. He was really the first footballer to really, I mean, I know Nicky Winmar was, you know, made that, and we've got a statue of Nicky, but he was really the first footballer to really, really,
in this more
modern era to really take an aggressive stand, and the football public just did not know how to have a conversation about it.
Mm. And the AFL, shame on them.
Yeah. They're not calling it out. I think they've made a... I think you've got to give credit to Tanya Hosch. She's one that's pushed this out into the public like it has, and also was a big instigator with the Nicky Winmar statue.
Yeah.
And the public apology that the AFL made, yes, probably late in the piece, but it was still a very strong apology, and they have learnt and educated themselves a lot. So I think we've got to give credit to that as well on the flip side. And it was good to see the hashtag We Stand With Adam.
Yeah. I really hope that he can find his way back to the game, because he does deserve... Played 350 games for the Swans.
And do you think there's anything in him, in the argument that he was staging for free kicks and all of that?
Jeez, we'd be billing everyone incessantly if it was about that.
I know Matthew Lloyd has you know, acknowledged that, yes, in later in his career he was doing it occasionally, and I think older players, when they get older, they get caught and... Mm.
But booing a player for that incessant period—that's not what
it's about. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, interesting. Well, you can sign a petition to get him doing his lap of honour. It's online at the moment. But I just wanted to give you a bit of dessert. Is that okay?
Of course.
Now, I went to the football by myself on the weekend, to the Cats Hawks game. And
good job.
It might sound strange to you two, because you do it regularly and enjoy going to the football on your own. I did not like it. Like, when it was a great game. I normally talk through what's happening. I want to hug my friends at the end of the game, jump up and down with them singing the team song, or hug each other crying one way or the other. And I just felt this emptiness at the end of the game that they couldn't do that. And I kind of went to the game on my own, because literally no one that I normally go to the game with was able to go. And I'd already organised a babysitter, so I thought, why not? So I put this tweet out and did a little poll today on the tweets. And I got, it's only been going for 5 hours and got 17 votes so far. But I went to the AFL Cats game by myself on Sunday. It was the first time. And blah, blah, blah. Quick poll. Do you like going solo to the football? Tell me why not in the comments. So it was a pretty even split. So some people, 40% said they love it.
And
Motti and Bree. So that would push it up, the stats up. 20% said they don't love it. And 40% said happy either way. So okay. some they can go by themselves or go with people they're happy. Now, I had a couple of responses from people. Michelle Redfern, a friend of the show, said, depends which footy. AFLM, so they're blokes, no, she wouldn't go. AFLW, absolutely, and VFL men's and VFLW, yes. So I didn't feel as safe going to the football.
I know, I thought that was an interesting, I did read that and I thought that was an interesting point that she made, that she wouldn't feel safe going to AFLM by herself. I was actually surprised about that.
Yeah, look, some people don't. I wouldn't feel safe bringing my child to AFL men's matches. And she said she prefers no chitty chatter. Tara Hill, married to Paddy Hill from the VFLW team, great friend of the show and Hawks Pride. She said, I'm with you, Michelle. I wouldn't go to AFLM matches, but others, yes. Definitely prefer to watch more than talk, etc. And then Michelle said, good op. I said, I'll talk to you both only during quarter time breaks. And then she said, good option, plus bring me wine. And then my friend Sean said, let me know next time, I'll take you to the footy with my kids. Danae, co-founder of the show, she said, I love going with my beloved and good mate. I also love going on my own to sit somewhere different or not and listen to the wireless. I don't when watching with others, especially games in Melbourne that don't include Freo. So, interesting.
I'm like that, like Danae. I don't listen to, I'm a real radio listener at the footy, but I don't listen if I'm with people. So, and yeah, I feel like I miss it. So if I go by myself, that's exactly what I do. Take my radio, sit there, and I find it meditative. I know it sounds odd because generally my team are well patronage, as are yours, Brazer, and... Yep. But I find the solitude in a crowd of 60,000 fantastic.
Yes. The hidden in plain sight.
I can go for a walk whenever I want.
Yeah. See, I don't like it. But anyway, interesting how different people operate.
You're listening to Chicks Talking Footy. Now, Community Notice Board, Saints Pride have got their fundraiser trivia night this Monday night at RSEA Park. At 6:30 p.m. tickets available and info on all Saints Pride socials. And the event is hosted by our very own Beck Dahl and Dave Beckett. Morning from the bench. Now, also, Sandringham Pride at Trevor Barker Oval is on this Sunday, 28th of July. Tickets available for the President's Brunch at Sandringham Football Club starting at 9:45. Oh, I love a brunch. Game starts at 11:50, Chicks.
Yeah, so there's that. There's two games. There's the Zebras versus someone at 11:50, and then there's the Southern Saints versus it's Casey. They're playing both teams are playing Casey after that. So it'd be a good day.
Yeah, so I'm going down to both of those.
Yeah, oh, good.
You now, can say hello to me.
We gave warning of no warning, we don't have time. Yeah. So sorry for all of those people hanging on the line for no warning, my fans.
There are people banging down the door, but I'm sorry.
There will be a picket outside, I can understand that, but we will definitely do it next week.
Wonderful. Definitely. Well, thanks, Chicks, for another fantastic show. Subscribe to our podcast. Give us a rating on the Apple iTunes app. We like a rating. And...
10 out of 10. I think it's a rating.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram during the week. Otherwise, we'll see you next week on Chicks Talking Footy.
Go Tykes! Footy, footy.